I think they are keeping too much fast, because of that I can finish it little early, Oh, is it? Okay. See, one devotee is asking, Sukadeva Goswami came to see Bhishma. We want to know about him. What was his age, that time? What age he learned Bhagavatam? What age he recite all Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj? What age Parikshit Maharaj listen all Bhagavatam, like that? Basically, I think he is trying to find out whether it is a proper information, it's matching. Another devotee has asked also, you say that Sukadeva Goswami was 16 years old when he was born, and he met, when Vedavyas gave him the knowledge, and then he heard the knowledge, and then when did he come to give the knowledge to Parikshit? What was the time duration gap? And also he is present here in Bhishma's section, he is present. So, if Sukadeva Goswami gave a send-off to Parikshit, you know, but how is it that Pandavas have not yet even ascended the throne, and we find Sukadeva Goswami here? So which means Sukadeva Goswami, first thing is Sukadeva Goswami heard Bhagavatam from his father, correct? Second thing is Sukadeva Goswami came for Bhishma Pitamah's passing away. And after that, the Pandavas were coronated to become the kings. Marayudhishthira became the king. And then Parikshit's, throwing of the Brahmastra and all that happened. And then Parikshit was born subsequently. And then Parikshit grew up. Now he's called, these people, why they question like this? If Parikshit grew up to youth, prime of his youth, at that time Sukadeva Goswami also must have grown up. His age also must be grown up. Then at that time when Parikshit is passing, we say that he was 16-year-old boy who came to give the Bhagavatam to all the people in assembly, like that we say. So some people make a calculation like this and they ask, how can you say Sukadeva Goswami was so young? Because at least Sukadeva Goswami's age must be when he met Bhishma Pitamah, in case he was little more than 16 he must have been, because already he has heard Bhagavatam, Vedavyas. He is coming just to be in the, a part of the assembly. From this period up to the time when Yudhishthira Maharaj was coronated, then Parikshit was born and Parikshit grew up to youth. And say, imagine Parikshit grew up 25 years, for example, 25, 30 years. He grew up. And in that year plus this, if you calculate all of it, Parikshit's age seems to be a little longer. That's why people ask this question. But one thing is, it is said with personalities like Sukadeva or Uddhava and all, these are all not ordinary human beings. So, they are liberated souls and they have the, like Narada, you will read in the fourth canto, you know, the Jara Devi, she goes, she is telling Narada that I am looking for a partner. So, are you ready to marry me? So, Narada refuses to marry her. So, he hands her over to one Maranajvara, one another fellow, Prajvara. So, there he doesn't marry. There Prabhupada writes, Narada didn't marry her. Because if he marries her, anybody who embraces her will become old. Correct? So Narada remained a brahmachari, he says. And Prabhupada says Narada remained young, hale and healthy for hundreds and thousands of centuries. He remains the same. You don't hear Narada Muni becoming very old, invalid. Do you hear anytime? He always remains Chiranjeevi and young. And so similarly, Sukadeva Goswami should be calculated in that category. So, concluding that point on adjusting religious principles according to time and place, it's very important for us to know in which situations can we adjust. For example, Prabhupada adjusted many things. In the Vrindavan temples, you find there are, you know, some machines attached, ding, dong, tong, like that, make sounds. Whereas Prabhupada didn't keep it in his temples. Instead, Prabhupada kept this wonderful prayer, Govindam Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami Govinda. So when Yamuna Mataji sang it, and Prabhupada heard the recording, he said, oh, this has come out very transcendently. As Prabhupada said, it's very pleasing. And then Prabhupada immediately ordered, let it be played in all the ISKCON temples, all over the world. Like that Prabhupada gave order, during the Shringar Darshan. And then some group of male devotees, they sang the same. Govindam, they sang also. Any of you heard that recording? I heard it, yeah. So then they presented it to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you know, for the Shringar Darshan, if you want to keep male voice for everybody, because generally sometimes it is said that Brahmacharya should not be hearing, you know, Mataji singing, so can you have this? Prabhupada said, no, Yamuna, what she sang was best. And it is not a female voice or a male voice, it is a transcendental voice. Prabhupada said, let us keep it for the whole world. Then, so he made it a standard. Now it's played in all these ISKCON temples worldwide. So, and you find it attracts many new people also. Many new people like to come for Shringar Darshan because that's a very beautiful song, very soothing. It evokes some spiritual feelings in the people's heart when they hear it. So, like this Prabhupada has, like now we started preaching in colleges in 1995, we saw that our temple is here, but college is there, far away. And to bring the boys to the temple and inspire them to become devotees was becoming difficult. So eventually, we saw that if you make a group of boys, so in PICT college when I was preaching, we made a group of 6 boys. They stayed together and we told them to cook. They cooked also. Then we offered the boga, then we made an altar. And then we called it as a youth center in those days. Yeah. And then later we called it a base. And then in 2000 we called it voice. So we made a center. What is voice or base? Or some people have another name, PACE. They have Prabhupada Academy for Culture and Education. Yeah. Some people have choice, like Juhu Temple. Hmm? They have center for like that heritage of Indian this thing, culture and education, like that. So they may give different names, but basically these are like mini ISKCON temples, we can say. But mini ISKCON temples near the college, so that boys have an easy approach. And they can easily come and join the programs. That is the purpose of these centers. So now in these centers, morning if we don't do Mangala Arati, as soon as we get up like 4:30 we don't do. Instead we do chanting 2 hours first. Why? Because the neighbors, there are many housing colony, people are there. If you sing loud kirtan, they get disturbed and they will create nuisance, isn't it? So some adjustment we have made, but the principles are not changed. Instead of doing Mangala Arati and then chanting, we do chanting and then Mangala Arati we do. Correct, no? So in this way you can see, this is an example of making some slight adjustment. Can any of you give some example of some adjustments that we have made in Prabhupada's movement in order to enhance preaching? We have GPL, you know, that Bhagavad Gita contest. Our Raja Krishna Prabhu has brought out a beautiful, colorful booklet with, you know, many quizzes. What is the name of that contest? Personality? Value Empowerment Contest. Value Empowerment Contest. So we have to learn how to package Bhagavad Gita in a way modern parents and children will appreciate. Correct? Imagine if Raja Krishna Prabhu goes to your school and says, I will give a Bhagavad Gita discourse, call all your children. You know, no, they don't want. They say that, you know, no, they are busy. We have no time. But instead of a Bhagavad Gita discourse, if you say value empowerment contest, first prize, 1 lakh rupees. Second prize, 50,000 rupees. Third prize, 25,000 rupees. And nowadays, children, 2 things children are very fond of. Contest and collecting certificates. In India, people are very fond of this too. Any course you give certificate, they will collect and keep it. So that means we are engaging their contesting propensity in Krishna's service, isn't it? So this is a very nice innovation to reach the school. Now principal, teachers, everybody is with open arms welcoming us. So Prabhupada will be very pleased that we are reaching out so many Gitas like this, isn't it? Any other innovation? Example of any powerful innovation in Prabhupada's movement, which is in line with the principle of Prabhupada, at the same time, it is an innovation. Rathyatra Prabhupada himself taught it. San Francisco, yeah? He started His Holiness B.T. Swami called IFAST. IFAST means Institute for Spiritual Technology, I think. Applied Spiritual Technology. And why he gave the name IFAST? Because everybody is fast in Kali Yuga, running. I am fast, IFAST. That kind of name he gave, IFAST. And it was like a management institute where he was giving spiritual spiritual principles like that through management. Correct, no? So in this way, we have to learn how to, like, you know, cooking classes in the college. You know, many colleges will welcome you if it give cooking classes. Or some people, may, like in, like Devamrita Swami Maharaj, he has one technique called loft preaching, he calls it. What is loft preaching? The ground floor, they have a yoga studio. People come for yoga studio. And then they have snacks in the top floor, loft. So when they go to the loft, they have round tables where devotees are already sitting. 2-3 devotees are sitting and these people go and join them. And while eating prasad, they chat with one another, something related to Krishna consciousness. So they have made a tie-up with the yoga studio that prasadam will be supplied by the ISKCON devotees. And people are also, yoga people are happy to come and eat in ISKCON because they know ISKCON supplies very nice prasad. So they do the yoga and everything, they come up, they sit in table, and then they have chat with them during prasad. Then they go to another floor where Devamrita Swami is sitting. And then those who are very interested, they take them there and he gives a class for them. Then they go back. Gradually all the yogas, yogi babas and yoginis, they all become Hare Krishnas. Wearing they like Hare Krishna. So it's called loft preaching, they call it. So this is also innovation. Why innovation? Maharaj was telling that nowadays everybody wants to go for yoga. Correct, no? Learn yoga and have a healthy body. The health consciousness has become very high nowadays due to too much of fertilizer and pesticide, insecticide and everything. So when you talk about organic food, or when you talk about yogasanas, when you talk about pranayama, and a lot of people come. So that business is increasing now and spiritual awareness is reducing. People are more and more becoming health conscious and body conscious. So what to do? You tie up with them because they are many mode of goodness people, those who come for yoga classes. So ISKCON can tie up with them. One floor you have yoga class, one floor we can have ISKCON center with. ISKCON supplies prasad, big crowd will come from yoga. Then we can preach to them. So these are examples of how ISKCON can tie up with somebody and preach. Now Srila Prabhupada was very much against ISKCON devotees teaching yoga and all. Prabhupada was not appreciative. If you bring people to ISKCON temple and here you conduct yoga classes, breathing, slow breathing, lying down and doing shavasana and all. There was one Siddha Swarupananda, he was doing the psychic healing. So Prabhupada was completely against it. He said, "Is this what I taught you? I taught you to chant and dance for Hare Krishna and your people are lying down and breathing long, breathing they are doing. At the end of 30 minutes they say, Hare Krishna, like that they would do." So Prabhupada said, "This is nonsense, you are cheating people." But we can have somebody else teach yoga and then when the yoga classes are over, we can take over after that. Prasadam we can provide. So prasadam and creating Krishna awareness together. That kind of thing we can tie up and do, correct, no? So, like you all know about the VTW, SDW we do, Vaishnava Training Workshop, and that is also innovation. Because students are fond of software training, so you combine software training, keep software training during the day, and morning and evening Vaishnava Training Workshop, VTW and SDW. That is also innovation. Because if you call them only for SDW, software training, you don't give them any stuff. If you call only for Vaishnava training in holidays, will they come? They won't come. So you combine these two. So this is innovation actually. So we could think of many such innovations where we can, without compromising on the principle, we can adjust some details. Now let's go to the third one. 1911. Okay, only 10, you read only the translation, 10.
Lord Shri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. Yet he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev, and since Bhishma Dev knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly.
Yeah. And from 11 onwards, you find some one very important section is coming up now. Pandaputranupasinan prashraya prema sangatan abhyachashtanu ragashrair andhi bhutena chakshusha.
The sons of Maharaj Pandu were sitting silently nearby, overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather. Seeing this, Bhishma Dev congratulated them with feeling. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes, for he was overwhelmed by love and affection.
Yeah. See, after the Pandavas are arriving there, they are all sitting and silently, and they are overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather, because the Pandava children always were very fond of the grandfather, and Bhishma Deva is reciprocating, congratulating them with feeling, and there were tears of ecstasy in his eyes. Andhi bhutena chakshusha, he says, and he was overwhelmed by love and affection. So in the middle, Prabhupada writes, Bhishma Deva, although he knew that the Pandavas were innocent and were unnecessarily put into trouble, could not take the side of the Pandavas for political reasons. At last, at the last stage of his life, when Bhishma Deva saw his exalted grandsons headed by Maharaj Yudhishthir sitting very gently at his side, he could not check his loving tears, which were automatically flowing from his eyes. And then he was remembering the great tribulation suffered by his most pious grandsons. And he was most satisfied, because Yudhishthir is enthroned, which was his desire. His desire became satisfied. So now, as soon as Yudhishthir arrived here, Yudhishthir has not even asked any question till now to Bhishma. You know, he has not told that I am feeling like this, you know, I am feeling dejected after the war or anything. He hasn't spoken anything. Directly, Bhishma begins speaking now. You will see. Please recite this. Aho kashtam aho anyayam yad yoyam dharmanandanaha jivitum narhata klishtam vipradharma achyutashrayaha.
Bhishma Dev said, "Oh, what terrible sufferings and what terrible injustice you good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations. Yet, you are protected by Brahmanas, God and religion."
So I have given this heading, absorbing and responding to calamities positively. So, what is a calamity? The calamity is defined as an instance which happens abruptly, unexpectedly, at the least expected time, which we may put all our best efforts to reverse or alter or change, but we are unable to change it. It is beyond our scope. That is called calamity. So in the life of a devotee, sometimes a sudden turn of events happen. And especially those events may be pain-producing events, like in the case of Pandavas, you know, they were driven to the forest, their wife was insulted, their kingdom was taken away. So, and 12 years they suffered and they did Ajnatavas also. And then when they came back, rightfully speaking, they were supposed to be given back the kingdom. But they were not given. Again, they were denied. Correct, no? So, and this is some series of difficulty, but besides that, there were assassination attempts on the Pandavas with poison, with fire, in various ways, with the Hidimba Rakshasi in the jungle. So you will see, being devotees of the Lord, generally in this world the people think that If you are a punyavan, pious, then you will not suffer much. Because those who have done punya generally are supposed to be happy. Correct, no? So people generally assume that we should be godly and saintly so that we will not have to suffer. Many people think. But here strangely we find even somebody who is a very advanced and seriously situated devotee like Pandavas, they are suffering. So why do devotees suffer is a question mark which many times one may get. But one should know, in this section you will see, it will be explained about there are multiple reasons why devotees suffer. One good news I heard from His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, the moment you agree to become a devotee, agree to chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regs, you surrender to the Lord, at that time only Lord accepts you and takes away all your reactions. He takes away everything. It's not that only after you become pure devotee, He takes reactions. Even when you are a neophyte devotee and you tell the Lord, I want to surrender to you, then the Lord takes away reactions. But, He said, He keeps the reactions, and when He sees you again turning to sense gratification, He releases some of the reactions and uses those reactions to purify us. And in case we don't go in the wrong direction, there is no need of purification. He takes it all away. Karmani nirdahati, He says. Like that He says. So this is one reason why sufferings come in our life. So what is the first reason? Krishna gives our own reactions back for our own purification. This is for neophyte devotees, those who are in very young stage, they are growing. You will find Bharat Maharaj, there Prabhupada writes, it was a willful neglect by Bharat Maharaj, He says. What neglect? Willful neglect. So Lord repeatedly warned Bharat by being in His heart that you are becoming too materially attached to this deer. But Bharat was not paying any heed to his conscience. Again and again he was chasing after the deer. So Lord thought that I have to give him a slap. Then he will come to his senses. I have to shake him up and wake him up from his moha. Then Lord made him a deer for a short time, Prabhupada says, so that he will immediately become realized, and then next life he became Jada Bharat and again became advanced devotee. Correct, no? So sometimes in this way Lord gives a slap to a devotee who is walking on the wrong path to bring the devotee to the right path. If a devotee commits some blunders or is becoming enthusiastic in the wrong path, so that is one reason for the suffering. Another reason for the suffering is, like if you take an axe and you hit a sandalwood tree, it gives out, lends out more fragrance, is it not? Similarly, the Lord wants to show the world, look at my devotees, how glorious they are. See my pure devotees like Ambarish or Prahlad, Parikshit. The more they were put on fire like circumstances, the more they were glowing. Like if you put gold on fire, the black useless substances are removed and the shining gold comes out. Similarly, pure devotees, you put them in difficult circumstances, the pure devotees exhibit even more pure sublime qualities. Like for example, Devaki and Vasudev were like wonderful Krishna devotees, but they might not have been very popular. But when Kamsa caught hold of the hair of Devaki and wanted to, you know, kill her, then after that you will find how Vasudev behaved with Kamsa. You know, he was actually very extremely steady and patient in behaving and saved the life of Devaki. Eventually was ready to hand over all the six children and leading to Krishna's appearance, isn't it? So then the Devaki Vasudev assumed a very big important place in the whole Bhagavatam because of that. So Lord gives opportunity to His pure devotees to be put in difficult circumstances so that their wonderful qualities can come out, like Prahlad, Ambarish, all of them. And another reason why the Lord gives pure devotees difficulties is because Lord is interested in performing some pastime with His devotees. So when devotees are in difficulty, they call the Lord and the Lord comes there, and then there is an exchange between the Lord. Correct, no? Like Hiranyakashipu was torturing Prahlad. So Prahlad remembered the Lord. Lord came. So Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, that's only a part of the business. But the main business is Lord wanted to hear the prayers of Prahlad in the presence of all demigods. Lord wanted Prahlad to be glorified, which happened also in their pastime. And the Lord was extremely pleased by this child Prahlad, his wonderful prayers. So this is another reason Lord wants to do Leela with his devotees. So he sent some apparent difficulties in the life of devotees so that when the devotees are in a state of turmoil, they call the Lord fervently, the Lord goes there and Lord gets a chance to serve the devotees when the devotees have difficulty. Like Uttara was in difficulty, Krishna got some service to go round and round the womb of Uttara and save, isn't it? Now the Pandavas were in difficulty to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna got wonderful service of becoming a driver of Arjuna. Imagine that no Kurukshetra war, no driver required. But here you find Krishna got an opportunity. So Lord seeks an opportunity to enter into relationship with his devotees and have some exchanges. And most importantly, when two people come together, when there is difficulty, the relationship becomes more thicker. Like you will see, when Krishna Sudama went to the forest, you know, when they had to fetch firewood, it was pitch dark night and heavy rains, hailstorm and everything. So they were very afraid. They heard the roaring of lions and tigers. Krishna was calling, "Hey Sudama, Sudama, Sudama." Sudama was calling Krishna. At last they found each other, you know, taking a chadar, covering both their bodies together, catching each other's hand and carrying firewood in the dark night. They're trying to find a way. They couldn't. They stayed in the jungle only in the night. Next morning, Guru went and brought them back. So, in this way, the relationship became thicker. Why? When we have a friend and we both have a common problem to be solved. I help him, he helps me, and we both help each other because we have a common problem to solve. And this is how husband-wife relationship also can become thicker in a family. When a family, when they come together, they both try to solve the problem in the family together. And when they keep Krishna in the center, the relationship really becomes very sweet. Because then it becomes even more divine. So in this way, Lord sometimes puts devotees in difficulty, and when devotees are struggling, he also comes, enters into the pastime, and the relationship between the Lord and the devotee becomes thicker, purer, tighter by such kind of instances. And you will see, Parikshit Maharaj was related to Krishna already, but when he was cursed to die in 7 days, it was whose plan? Lord's plan, Lord's will, isn't it? It was Lord's will. So what happened? Parikshit actually heard Bhagavatam and his love for Krishna became very thick. And he completely, whatever little clarifications he did, everything brought him closer and closer to Krishna's lotus feet. On the last day, it is said, Parikshit left his body, ascended to Vaikuntha on a Vaikuntha airplane, after which Takshaka comes and bites his dead body. So Parikshit actually conquered death and ascended to the spiritual world. And his affection, love for Krishna had increased tremendously by hearing the Bhagavata Katha of Krishna like this. So in this way, he could accelerate his Krishna prem and Lord Krishna could exchange with him, and we all are benefiting now. So in this way, the Lord sometimes puts devotees, he won't put any devotee, only pure devotees. For them, he will put them in very special type of difficult situations. So that like devotees go through the situation. Like right now, if you take the Pandavas for example, what the Lord is doing with Pandavas' life, if you see, they are very, very dear devotees of Krishna. One place, it is said in the Bhagavatam, Yuyam hi loke, Yuyam dhu loke, bata bhuri bhaga, yesham punana muna yo biyanti. Like that he says, Vasati griha grihe hi sakshat. It says that sakshat, Purusha Brahma Lingam. It said that the Lord who is in the form of who looks like a two-handed form of a cousin of the Pandavas, you know, externally he behaves like a cousin, but that Supreme Lord came and stayed in the Mayadhanavas and that Mayasabha, that Indraprastha palace, where all the Rishis Munis used to come for darshan of Krishna there, it is said. So, he was very intimate with the Pandavas, but the same Pandavas, he subjected them to various difficulties. This subject where we are entering now, in this section, this next 3, 4, 5 verses are talking about why Pandavas suffered. That's the question. And why they were subjected to so many calamities. Whose plan was it and why was such a plan made? Does Lord delight in devotee suffering? People have multiple questions on this. Why does... And also some people are afraid that if I become a serious devotee, will Lord send me special difficulties? You know, abhi pahle se bol do humko. Some people ask like that. Are all pure devotees supposed to go through such difficult situations and circumstances? So all these questions are answered in this, say, 5-6 verses which you are reading now. See, read this purport of 12th.
Maharaj Yudhishthir was disturbed due to the great massacre in the battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishma Dev could understand this, and therefore he spoke first of the terrible sufferings of Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was put into difficulty by injustice only, and the battle of Kurukshetra was fought just to counteract this injustice. Therefore, he should not regret the great massacre. He wanted to point out particularly that they were already protected by Brahmanas, the Lord, and religious principles. As long as they were protected by these three important items, there was no cause of disappointment. Thus, Bhishma Dev encouraged Maharaj Yudhishthir to dissipate his despondency. As long as person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by the bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and strictly following religious principles, one has no cause for despondency, however trying the circumstances of life.
Bhishma Dev. So, three things we should do always in our life. See, he is saying we should be fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, and we should be guided by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and we should strictly follow the religious principles. So, when we are subjected to trouble, for example, in our life, one of the things we do is we don't strictly follow the religious principles, whereas we become slack in religious principles. Why we become slack? Because we lose enthusiasm. अरे इतना पायस होने के बाद भी इतना तकलीफ आता है जीवन में. What is the use of my being pious? So one starts cribbing and grumbling. Then one relaxes the religious principles. And then here he says we should be guided by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. But one gets into a mode of tit for tat. When one gets difficulty. Who gave me difficulty and how I can retaliate back? उसने मेरा टांग खींचा, मैं उसका टांग खींचूंगा. So one gets into an irreligious mode. And one is no more guided by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Similarly, a person is supposed to be fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, but one forgets the Lord. When one gets difficulty, one forgets the Lord generally. That's why these three opposite things are said. All of you think for a moment in your life, when did you come across some extremely, you know, terrible, terrible circumstance, you are completely bewildered and confused. And at that time, how many of these three principles you followed? You check yourself. That is, you know, were you trying to cooperate with the wishes of the Lord? Were you guided by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas? Did you strictly follow the religious principles? These three things, vipra achyuta dharma, achyuta dharma achyuta ashrayaha. Vipra dharmachita ashraya, he says. So, if one is doing these three things, you are nirapradi. No matter what problems are happening with you, if you are fixed in these three things, because these three things will protect you, always. Sometimes, for example, can you give an instance in the Shastra, somebody is blamed for no reason. Can you give example? Who? Vidura, yeah. Now, for example, Vidura is a good example. Because Vidura was ill-treated by Duryodhana. Duryodhana told, actually Duryodhana was very political. He was once talking to Shakuni. He was telling Shakuni, Shakuni asked him, "Hey, what about Dronacharya?" Immediately Duryodhana said, "Dronacharya is father of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama is my friend. So Dronacharya naturally is also favorable to me," he said. Okay, that is wonderful. And then Duryodhana asked Shakuni, "But what about Kripacharya?" And then Shakuni said, "Don't worry about Kripacharya, because Kripacharya, who is Kripacharya's? Kripacharya will follow Dronacharya," he said. Then he asked, "What about Bhishma?" Duryodhana asked. Then he said, "Bhishma is a neutral party. And he doesn't indulge in anything. He is independent. And we don't have to worry about him." And then he said, Shakuni said, "There's only one fellow who is problem creator. Who is it?" "Vidura," I said. "This fellow is on our side, but he always thinks about the welfare of Pandavas." So then Shakuni told him, "You have to keep an eye on him. And he always gives opposite against you to your father, Dhritarashtra." So already Duryodhana had vengeance for Vidura in his mind. So one day when Vidura was talking to Dhritarashtra, giving counseling like this, that your son is a sinful wretch, he openly was chastising. So that time Duryodhana became overthrown by anger. He said, "Throw this man out of the palace only with his life. He eats our salt, but always preys on us, and he always plans for saving the Pandavas. We don't need such an enemy inside our court. He is son of a kept mistress, Dasi, Putra." Like that he spoke very harsh words. See, it is said the harsh words pierce our heart more sharply than arrows also. And we cannot forget them for whole life or beyond. People remember. It's a very painful thing. So Vidura was a minister. He was actually an advisor and counselor to King Dhritarashtra. But this is the way he was ill-treated. He must have been given a big palace, an abundant affluence of wealth, everything. But he left everything, kept his bow against the wall, and he walked out. So that is an example. So what he did when he walked out, these three things he did. Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashraya. He went and met Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and heard Katha of the Lord. And he performed religious activities of taking bath in the holy places, taking darshan of the Lord's deity, all that he did. And he was constantly remembering Krishna. So, and by doing these three things, he could completely give up all anxiety. You see, there were 16,000 princess girls who were locked in the cage by Bhaumasura. Correct, no? So recently I was reading, it was very amazing to read, because Prabhupada says, when Bhaumasura was killed and the jail door was opened, all these women, they all came out, all these ladies, these princes. And Krishna told them, "All of you return to your respective homes and lead a happy life. Now you are all free now." But none of them moved an inch from that place. They were all standstill. And Krishna asked, "What happened to you? Why you don't want to go back?" They said, "How will we go back? We have been already touched by Bhaumasura and brought here. Because we have been already brought by him here, nobody else will marry us." So there Prabhupada brings out a very interesting point. Prabhupada says, in the Vedic times, if a woman has been touched by a man, then nobody else will accept her. And the parents also, we are not ready to accept them. Because what will they do with them like that? But these princesses were, when they said that, "You accept us as our husband," then Krishna immediately said, "All right." So Prabhupada brings out a point there. These women, these princesses, they were all like rejected people. Because they would be considered rejected from the society, social point of view. Because they have been touched by Bhaumasura, nobody else will marry them. They have no bright future. Nobody is going to maintain them with nice ornaments and saris and care and love and gentleness and everything at home, nice facilities, nobody is going to care. So they were like rejected ones. But Krishna accepted, although they were rejected ones, because they had devotion to Krishna. So here what we understand, anybody with any amount of material disqualification can become acceptable to Krishna. Anybody. That is why in the morning we were telling example, there are animals who are large devotees, there are birds who are large devotees, there are old women like Shabari who are large devotees, and there are asuras who are large devotees, like Vritrasura. Isn't it? You can find. There are Nishada, low class people who are large devotees. In this way, anybody in any situation, they have to do these three things only. Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashraya. Actually, any time you are confused or bewildered, you don't know at this moment, how do I tackle this problem in my life? I am getting very tense or I am worrying about it. Then immediately we should take resort of these three. Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashraya. So by taking shelter of these three, you get spiritual strength by doing this. And when you get spiritual strength, you get determination. When you get determination, with that determination, you can cut all your doubts to pieces by learning the right knowledge. So, one should not be disturbed. And then he's saying further in the next verse. Read the translation. As far as my daughter-in-law Kunti is concerned, upon the great general Pandu's death, she became a widow with many children. And therefore she suffered greatly. And when you people were grown up, she suffered even more, a great deal, because of your actions. Bhishma is telling, see, first of all, Kunti lost her husband in the forest. And she came to palace with all of you, fatherless children. She brought all of you. Already she suffered without male support. She was suffering. But you guys started quarreling with Kauravas, Kaurava-Pandava fight. And you increased her suffering even more, like that he's telling. In this way, she suffered even more. But she never complained. She always tolerated. So in this way, Bhishma is very much empathizing with the sufferings that Pandavas underwent. Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam chayada priyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayoriva ghanavalihi.
In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time, under whose control everyone in every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind.
Yeah, correct. See, sometimes you see huge clouds, but a puff of heavy wind blows and it moves the cloud from one end of the sky to the other end of the sky. Even a huge cloud is moved. Similarly, in this world, there are very big people, well-to-do people, rich people, or big cinema actors, actresses, big sportsmen, or somebody, a very prominent man in society, very popular. But you find all people, there is one song of Ulysses, old order changeth, yielding place to new. In this way, such big people are pushed away by the power of time. As the time goes, everybody has become carried away by the sands of time. That's what he is telling here. Sarvam kalakritam manye. So nobody can permanently survive in this world. Everyone, like, you know, there was one devotee in one of the temples. He used to tell all the devotees that allopathy is poison. It's useless. Nobody should touch any allopathy medicine. I only take Ayurvedic. And he was an attakatta devotee. Strong devotee. And by his inspiration, many devotees gave up allopathy medicines. They started sticking to Ayurveda. After 10-12 years, suddenly one day he got malaria. You know, then he had to be taken to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So they went to hospital. So he was feeling very uneasy that he has to eat chloroquine and all this, you know, allopathy medicines and all. Then he ate and then he became well. Then he came back and devotees are asking him, Prabhu, where were you? Don't put some mat kuch. He was a little uneasy that first time in his life he had to take allopathy tablet. But when Maharaj, Ranath Maharaj came to know, he called the devotees and said, Prabhu, where were you? Maharaj is asking. Because Maharaj knew that he was very strict about not touching allopathy tablet. Then Maharaj was telling, when somebody asked Prabhupada, should we take allopathy or Ayurveda? Prabhupada said, just do the needful. He said. But why we were saying this, sometimes people who are very proud of certain principles in this world, they may be having their principles, but the power of time is such that influence, it just carries everyone away in this world. Many, many people have come, spoken many, many ideologies, and they all have been taken away by time. So this purport is very important. If you see, Prabhupada is saying, please read it, purport.
The sufferings of Kunti Devi, there is control by time all over the space within the universe, as there is control by time all over the planets. All the big gigantic planets.
So then he is talking, three, four lines you leave, go to this Kala, a forceful representative of the Lord within the material world. That is what is controlling everything. Now we all may have a question, who is that Kala? See, the Kala Bhairava is who? Shiva, correct, no? Kala Bhairava is, and his consort is called Kali. But even Shiva is not the ultimate Kala. Shiva causes pralaya, but there is beyond pralaya also, the Lord's witness remains. So Lord Paramatma is called Kala also. And Paramatma is not the ultimate Kala. Ultimate Kala is Krishna himself, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmyaham Lokakshayakrit Pravriddho. He says, you know, Kalosmyaham means, I am the Kala, he says, ultimately. Which means, below Krishna as Kala, there are many other Kalas, which, you know, Paramatma is sometimes called Kala, sometimes Shiva Kala Bhairava is called Kala, sometimes Yamaraj is called Kala also, sometimes Kala Uraga, serpent of time, is called Kala also. But generally Kala means one who causes an end, you know, termination to all our activities. You know, death also brings termination. And pralaya kala also brings termination. Like that we can talk about it. But here he is saying Kala is a forceful representative. What is the meaning of forceful representative? That means he makes his presence strongly and doesn't care for anyone. That's the meaning of forceful representative. Like you will find somebody is going on with their life. Suddenly when Kala comes, tadal, it puts a sudden brake. Somebody dies in an accident. Somebody gets a disease and becomes bedridden. One who was going all around the world, he becomes bedridden. So Kala is a forceful representative. And then he's saying, read further, Yudhishthir Maharaj should not be sorry.
Yudhishthir Maharaj should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sins in this previous birth and is suffering the consequence. Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature. But a pious man is faithful to Lord, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahmana and Vaishnava following the religious principles.
Yeah, see, piety is not an insurance against the attack of material nature. Just because somebody is pious, it's not that they want to get problem. Especially if one is Krishna's devotee. Why? You will find that if Krishna feels something is necessary for a devotee to be purified, then he will accordingly act. Like you see, in the case of Bali Maharaja, how Lord came as Vamana, because he found that Bali Maharaja had usurped the property of demigods. He, along with other demons, they were keeping everything with themselves. So they conquered all the three worlds. And the demigods had to be without any kingdom to rule, without any place to reside. So then the Lord told Aditi, now I will come and get back the kingdom and give it to your sons, Indra, headed by Indra. So Lord comes. So one of the goals of the Lord was to take back the kingdom from Bali and give it to Indra. So demigods can rule their kingdom. Demons can rule their kingdom. Everybody, just like sometimes one child wants to have all the toys. And the mother may take away some of the toys and give it to other children also. Let him play his toy, you play your toy. But the demons have a tendency to take everything and keep. So that was one of the goals for which Lord Vamana came. But Lord is so kind. Like I told you, in the case of Ravana, Lord told him, today you go and come tomorrow. So Lord, even while dealing with demons, he wants to give them a chance to become devotee. So in the case of Bali, Lord assumed the form of Vamana to come and take away the kingdom and give it back. But in the course of doing that, Lord gave opportunity for Bali to see the Lord's sweetness. Bali became attached to the beautiful Bala Brahmachari. When he saw him carrying umbrella with his brilliant, effulgent face, and when he saw that, everybody stood up in that assembly. So when Bali saw, immediately he felt, how fortunate and blessed I am, I want to give him some charity today. And he was thinking like this. And when this boy asked Bali, give me just 3 steps of land. So Bali was not very happy with that request. He said, agar main aapko 3 paav dunga, theek hai, aap to santushta hain 3 paav mein, lekin log hamare bare mein kya sochenge? Arre chota ek ladka, chota buddhi wale ne aapko 3 paav manga, aapne bhi 3 paav de diya usko bas, tum bada buddhi wale nahi, you should have more intelligence than the child. Child is asking 3 steps, you gave it like that, you could have given him more. How did you cheat him with 3 steps? People will ask me tomorrow. He said, I can give you islands, I can give you planets. I am actually the proprietor of all the 3 worlds. Like that he said, and you are asking me for 3 steps. So in this way, Bali was in that type of idea. So Lord wanted to take away his proprietorship mentality. So while snatching away his proprietorship mentality, the Lord also wanted to bestow his sweetness upon Bali if he was eager to connect with Lord. And that's what exactly happened. Despite Shukracharya's plea, Bali never paid any heed to him. He understood, if this is Sakshat Vishnu, I will give everything to him. Very happily he gave away everything. When he gave away everything, then Lord also gave himself to Bali by becoming his servant and doorkeeper. So you will see that when the Lord is doing purification of the devotee, it has 2 components in it. 1 component is the painful part, where the Lord snatches the, like, yasyaham managrihanami harishetad dhanam chanai. Prabhupada also says, although Bose Institute was number 2 in whole of India, Prabhupada says, so Prabhupada would have become the first 3 richest people in India, one of them. He was extremely intelligent. But when he was in Calcutta, the other managers who were working with him, they became envious of him that he is too smart. They started creating trouble for him. Then Bose told him, see, you are like my son. Why do you work here? You can go and start another thing in Allahabad. And I will put money and start something for you there. Prabhupada agreed and went to Allahabad. But then later on, there was a fire accident in Allahabad, and big property was lost. So their property was lost. Here envious elements were creating trouble for him in Calcutta. So Prabhupada thought, for some time let me do some BTG printing and distributing. And that was going on very well. So Prabhupada says, in spiritual life I was getting a lot of encouragement. In material life I was getting kicks. So naturally, which one will you want to do more? Spiritual life, correct, no? So I took more and more, and then I saw, you know, Krishna was dragging me more and more. You know, he gradually inspired me through my god brothers that you take sannyas and go abroad. And Prabhupada is saying, although I apparently was not ready, I was wondering how horrible, I have my sons who are growing up, I have not settled all of them in life. But Krishna gave more and more encouragement in that direction. Krishna told him, you pure devotee, what are you doing in a pharmaceutical shop? Mixing chemicals. Throw everything, come to America now. And preach there. Krishna literally dragged him. So he says, yasyaham anukrishnami harishye taddanamshane. So and Prabhupada says this and he laughs. Just see how Krishna literally dragged me out of my material business, and he wanted to fully engage me in devotional service. So this is what I told you. There are 2 components. What are the 2 components? One is, you know, putting down the material, you know, successes of Prabhupada, material business. Because if he's too successful in material business, he may never leave it, no? He may remain stuck there. So Krishna is like making it down. On the other hand, he is giving spiritual encouragement. Come. You'll get success here, you'll get success there. And then you are getting, Sumati Maharaj is giving you a ticket. And our Poddarji gave full sponsorship for the Bhagavatam printing. Take this money, print Bhagavatam. You know, everything is ready. Now you got the ticket, go to America. Fulfill the order of the Guru. And Krishna told him these things through many of his god brothers, like Kesha Maharaj, Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, all of them. Similarly, you find Bali Maharaj also. On one hand, he got defeat in the sense of, you know, he was tied with the Varuna Pash. his head was down. All the guru is cursing him, and all the ministers are all upset. And the praja is crying, and Vindhyavali is his wife is chastising. So different people are saying different things, and the situation is very tense situation. And in that situation, the Lord is asking, Bali, you promised me 3 steps of land. Where can I put the 3rd step? You have cheated me. You didn't keep your word. Like that, the Lord says. And Bali says, my dear Lord, I haven't cheated you. Still, there is one more place, which is my head. So he said, although my land is finished, my head is there. You can put your feet on my head. So this is the beauty of Bali. When he was put to thorough test, he surrendered to Lord. When he surrendered, then Lord gave him the 2nd component, which is sweetness. He said, Bali, I am sold out to you. You have purchased me by your love. Now I will become your doorkeeper. You will become in. So many benedictions Lord gave him. So you will find that, like Pandavas were sent to jungle, but when Durvasa Muni came, who came to help them? Yes. So the going to jungle is a struggle. But Krishna coming and doing pastime with Pandavas, doing Akshayapatra pastime, that is very enjoyable. Then Pandavas came back, they were not given the kingdom. Big war, battle, you have to fight. That is a struggle. But Krishna becoming their charioteer, that's a very sweet part, isn't it? So in this way, we will find in devotee's life, the struggle is always accompanied by Krishna support, which if a devotee is intelligent, can take advantage of. Correct, no? Now when we say Krishna, Krishna is a little difficult for us, but Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya, which means when you are facing certain dangers and difficulties in life, these 3 are available for you. Vipra means the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Dharma means the Shastras are teaching you what is the right thing to do. And Achyuta Ashraya means Krishna shelter. So these 3, if one takes advantage, then one can use the difficulties as a springboard to jump to a higher platform. One can go. You heard the story once. Once a man thought that the donkey has become very old. You know, he thought it is a nuisance now. You know, it's not able to do much work. So he pushed the donkey into a pit. But the donkey actually was not too old. Also, he was able to live. But he pushed it into a pit and he started throwing sand on the top of the donkey. So what the donkey did? He just shook it like this. Then all the sand fell away. So as the sand fell in the side, gradually he climbed on that and he jumped out of the pit. So he used all the sand to climb over. Correct, no? Similarly, all the difficulties that come can be used as a stepping stone to success. Correct, no? That is the meaning of this. So that is how the Pandavas utilized the difficulties. You will find in every difficulty Krishna was there with them. He was there to help them. So that's why he is telling, the Prabhupada is saying, even the most pious people have to suffer the condition of material nature. But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya, he is saying. Yatra Dharma Suto Raja Gada Pani Vrikodaraha Krishno Stri Gandivam Chapam Suhrit Krishnas Tato Vipat. See, in the previous verse, you see, Bhavatam Cha, it said, no? Sarvam Kalakritam Manye Bhavatam Cha. Bhavatam Cha means, what to speak of others affected by Kala, you Pandavas, even you people were subjected to so many difficulties, he's telling. And then he's telling, where there is Dharmaraj, who is upholder of all religious principles, where there is Gadapani, who is Gadapani? Bhima. And where there is Gandivam Chapam, one who is holding the Gandiva, who is it? And Suhrit Krishna, and there well-wisher Krishna, when he is personally present, Tato Vipat, still there is Vipat coming in the life of Pandavas. Just see. Now like that he is telling. How is this possible? See in the purport, if you see, in the middle purposes, despite the power of pious acts, which means Yudhishthira, despite the power of personalities, means Bhima and Arjuna, despite the power of expert management, means Nakula Sahadev, and the power of weapons, means the Gada and the Gandiva, under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas still suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala. Kala is identical with the Lord Himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates inexplicable wish of the Lord Himself. See, this is the definition of Kala. Kala means inexplicable, inconceivable wish of the Lord. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Like that he says. That we will explain it. Come to the text number 16. Na hyasya karhe chedrajan puman veda vidhichitam yadvijignasaya yukta muhyantika vayopihi. Yeah, I read it.
Oh, no one can know the plan of the... Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered.
Yeah. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharajishtir that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The suffering of the Pandavas were never due to past deeds. They hadn't committed any past misdeeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue, which means, see, Krishna is calling the Pandavas and telling, hey, you guys come to earth, I am also descending. I am descending to kill Kamsa, who is actually a Bhumi Bhar. He is actually a big, great burden upon the earth. But besides Kamsa, there are also many other kings who are great burden on the earth. They are all on the Adharma side. So you people become Pandavas. You may be very pious, you may be pure devotees, but I am going to play a drama in which you have to play the role of people who are driven away to jungle. Your wife will be insulted. You will be driven away to jungle. 12 years you have to be there. When you come back, you won't be given kingdom. So this is a drama you have to play. This may be a painful role, but you have to play this role. But after that, I will enact a war, which will be Dharma Yuddha, between Dharma and Adharma. So in that battle, I will personally drive Arjuna's chariot. And then Dharma will win. Then I will post you as the king of the whole world. So are you ready to cooperate with me? What do you think Pandavas will say? Yes, sir. No problem. In Ramayana, whatever role you say, we will play. And he calls Bhishma and says, hey, Bhishma, come here. You go to the Kaurava side, okay? You have to be on Adharma side. Bhishma will say, what, Lord, I have to be on Adharma side? But I am your devotee. You may say, no. Array, you are my devotee, therefore you have to be that. Because I want to enjoy Viriras with you. Oh, I want to fight. If you are also on Pandava side, I am also Pandava side, how can we have Viriras? We can't fight with each other, no? You know, you may fight with others, but who will fight with me? But I want to enjoy fighting with you. So you go to that one. Are you ready? What do you think he will say? Yes, sir. No problem. This is how the Lord and the pure devotees have a mutual agreement. What they want to do. And Prabhupada compares the pure devotees to daughter and the neophyte devotees to daughter-in-laws. Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada says, sometimes a mother-in-law, new daughter-in-law has come to home, but she is very cautious not to pick up quarrel with her. Because quarrel is very easy, no? Because she has come from another home. So mother-in-law never scolds the daughter-in-law. But when she sees daughter-in-law is acting foolishly, she wants to correct. But how does she correct? Through her daughter. Whenever she sees that daughter-in-law is committing mistake, she taunts the daughter. And daughter says, sorry ma, I'll be careful. And then daughter-in-law understands, my Lord, mistakes committed by me, and she gets a scolding. Then she will learn a lesson. So like that, the Lord uses pure devotees to use them to teach the world. Actually, the pure devotees are very pliable in the hands of the Lord. They can bend very easily. If mother and daughter relationship is very thick, a daughter won't mind. Imagine the daughter-in-law, she's a very educated engineer, very smart girl. But she is smart only in computer, not in cooking or serving prasad. Huh? But she is taking huge quantity of bendi sabji and putting in the center like rice. And she is taking small quantity of rice and putting in one corner. Isn't it? And she is putting papad, instead of putting on plate, she is putting outside on the ground. Huh? You know? So she doesn't know how to serve. Then Madanila is coming, my Lord. She doesn't know the simple things. Huh? Small. Then she's shouting at the daughter. Huh? You foolish daughter, you put the papad on the ground. Huh? You see, you put this much sabji and this much little rice. Huh? So the daughter says, sorry, Mama, I'll be careful. Because both daughter is also serving, daughter-in-law is also serving. But the scolding goes to whom? Daughter. And then who is hearing it? Daughter-in-law. Oh, she becomes careful. Oh, ho. Now I think I have to reverse the situation. Sabji should be less, rice should be more. She understands. Similarly, while putting chapati, she takes six chapati and puts in somebody's plate. No, you are supposed to serve one by one. After they finish, you serve one more. So, she doesn't know, but the mother-in-law, this is the way she corrects her. Through her daughter. So, Prabhupada says the pure devotees are so intimate with the Lord, they don't mind accepting chastisements from the Lord. Because it's a drama only for them. And they, because they know Lord is a personification of love. So, they happily accept. Like you see, in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins with a chastisement. Ashochananan vashochastvam prajnavadascha bhashase gatasuna gatasuncha na anushochanti panditaha. Are learned people never lament like you, Arjuna. Anarya jushtam asvargyam akirtikaram, Arjuna. I say, are you are anarya. What you are behaving will be asvargyam, he is saying. You cannot go to svarga. You are actually behaving like a coward. You don't know the difference between body and soul. What a fool you are. In the beginning of Gita. So most of the readers till then don't know what is soul, what is body. When Krishna is chastising, you don't know the difference between body and soul. And they think, are you mujhe bhi maalum nahi? Thank God Krishna has not till now chastised me. Oh, unka koi Arjun hai, wo driving color kar rahe hai Bhagwan. Unko dhamki de rahe hai Bhagwan. You know, he is giving a slap. So when devotees read it, they feel how. Like, that is why I also write dramas nowadays, skits in many of our. Because when you write skits, no? Some devotees, while reading this, they feel, hey, this is actually my problem. Prabhuji ko kaise pata chal gaya, Prabhuji ko? No, you don't worry. We have one Rabi, one fellow. We put all the problem on Rabi only. Actually, I gave the name Ravi because that name is a rare name. Generally, Ravi is there. Ravi is very rare. That's why I gave the name. So that in our crowd, there may not be anybody with that name. You know? So when we write, so in this way, when Arjuna is getting chastisement, we are happy. Thank God. He will get chastisement, but who will learn? I will learn. Imagine in the beginning of Gita, Krishna says, oh, foolish reader, do you know the difference between body and soul? What you will do? You close the book, correct, and throw away, correct? No? So, you can see the Lord is so intelligent. You know? He's using His pure devotees to teach us. You know? So, in this way, the Lord is telling, see, now this is the plan. Krishna is saying that many exhaustive philosophical people have researched on why the Pandavas suffered so much, and why Kauravas did so much pap and still they flourished. For so many years, Pandavas did so much punya, still they went to forest, why? And in this way, our inquiries will have no end. And even the great philosophers will get bewildered. So I told you this morning, if you remember, when Dasiputras, Dasi died, Narada boy's mother. So how many of you, when you read for the first time, you are a bit shocked? You know, when Narada boy's mother died, correct, no? Why you were shocked, can you tell me? What was the reason that... I was also shocked first time when I read. But why we are shocked generally? She did service to Bhaktivedantas. That means she is a pious woman. Correct, no? She is not an ordinary woman. Then why should a pious woman die? She is becoming Krishna conscious. She should be allowed to become Krishna conscious. Why then... this kind of question will come, no? And another question that comes to us, alas, if Krishna takes away the mother like this, bechara bachche ko kya hoga? How can child? This is the concern of an average person, correct? No? But what is the great vision of Krishna? I told you. Correct? No? What is the vision of Krishna? Right now, mother and son are having what attachment? Material attachment. And she is showering abundant love on him to keep him with her only. And he also is attached to mother and he cannot take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. So Lord separates the two. And gives her a very nice Krishna conscious situation where she will continue. And he gives him another opportunity in the forest where he can become Narada. So this separation is done by whom? By Krishna. In the form of Kala. Because Kala only took her away now. Like that. I told you about one Ramaranjan Das, you remember? Some of you might have heard him. You see, in Portland, America, one Ramaranjan Das, one devotee got initiated. His name was actually Dosa, Mr. Dosa. He became initiated as Ramaranjan Das. He belonged to a Muslim family. So when he got initiated, after 1 week he died in an accident, car accident. So devotees were shocked. His wife was shocked. So Prabhupada wrote a letter giving beautiful explanation to devotees. He said, see, Mr. Dosa belonged to a Muslim family. Many other Muslims were threatening him. You give up this Hare Krishna and come back to our mosque and do namaz. Give up all this chanting and everything. They were even threatening they would kill him also. So that was one problem he was already facing. He was secretly trying to practice Krishna consciousness. Plus he was coming from 200 miles distance to the temple, very far away. So he was very enthusiastic devotee, but he was not allowed to come so far away. And his wife was very unfavorable, Mrs. Dosa. Because she thought that we are Muslims, better you be one of the Muslims, you don't go to Hare Krishna like that. She was also opposed. And he was also very poverty stricken. His family, he had 2-3 children, but he didn't have much money. So Prabhupada was very attentive to notice all this. Prabhupada said, see, this was the situation. And he was initiated. So Prabhupada said, Krishna took him out of this unfavorable situation. And now he would be born in some other family, somewhere else, maybe in some devotee family, where right from childhood he will get to eat prasad and see parents who are devotees wearing tilak, kantimala, everything. Then Ramaranjan Das will be reborn as somebody else in another family. Because he was already initiated and he was in good consciousness. So Krishna just picked him up from this scene and put him in another family. Boom. Then Ramaranjan Das opens his eyes. He's a small baby. And mother, father, all wearing tilak. Hare Krishna, ready-made. So no difficulty now. No Muslim, no problem from wife, family, no big family to run, no monetary problem, no 200 miles go traveling, nothing. Ready-made. See, Krishna is like a chess player. He takes one pawn. Like that he keeps. Immediately wonder, kida daya pawn? Correct? Now, like you have seen some chess players, they put one pawn and the king is checkmated. You have seen that? They move like this. They watch very attentively. Similarly, Krishna also watches attentively how to take a living entity from one situation and put him in another situation where he can flourish in Krishna consciousness. You know, then what happened? After that, Mrs. Dosa became a widow. She had 2-3 children. She came to temple to meet Prabhupada. You know, she asked Prabhupada about why God has taken away my husband. Then Prabhupada told her, your husband was a very noble soul. He was most loved by all the devotees here. He's a good person. Certainly he would have gone to a better destination. Prabhupada told her about soul, body, reincarnation, everything. And you have nothing to worry. The soul never dies. Soul leaves one body and goes to another and preach to her. And Prabhupada told her to chant. So she had two choices. To stick on to Muslims, family and be with them, or to leave them and come to ISKCON community. So she saw the devotee community and became inspired, and then she joined devotee community. So she became a devotee, her children became devotees, she started wearing tilak, kantimala, she became serious devotee now. How she became serious devotee? Because she became helpless in life. The helplessness made her become a devotee. And Ramaranjan Das was currently in a helpless situation of practicing, so he was put in a better situation where he can nicely practice. So these kind of arrangements are amazingly done by Krishna. Who's the Trikala Jnani? He can see past, present, future. We only see the present isolated from past and future. So we get bewildered. We get confused. Aisa kaisa ho gaya? Because we don't know where he has gone. Correct, no? What is the next situation? So, in this way, Kala came in the life of Ramaranjan Das as an accident. He was to pluck him out of his current situation, but to place him in a very beautiful place, in another situation. So His Holiness Bhaktacharya Maharaj came to Pune Camp Temple. When one devotee got sick and he had passed away, some disease he got and he passed away. So Maharaj was saying, you see, Krishna is a personification of love. Everything that comes from Krishna is only love. Nothing but love comes from Krishna. So if Krishna comes as a disease in your life, cancer or something, you have to die, don't get frightened. You understand that Krishna is calling you to accelerate your devotional service. Krishna comes as an accident in your life, you leave, don't worry. You know, like once Radha Swami asked one of this Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, Krishnadas Prabhu. He was going in a bike, there was some hitting with a truck or something like that, and immediately on the spot he left, because he fell off the bike and then he got hit somewhere and he passed. So Ananda Madanpu was asking, Maharaj, he was your good friend. How in Vrindavan, while traveling in a bike, he hit and he fell off and he died. Why did Krishna do this to him? He was such a nice devotee. And Rana Sami asked him a good question. He asked, okay, I will tell you two choices. One choice is, now he was only about 55, 60 years old, 55 years old or something. Now between 55 to 80, you have some terminal disease and you are bedridden, passing stool and urine in the bed. People have to see you and you are like a vegetable in the bed. So 55 to 80 means how many years? 25 years you have to be bed. And you can live a longer life. Would you prefer that? Or at the age of 55, Krishna feels, why should this fellow rot in the bed like this? You are going in a bike. Then go back to Godhead. You would prefer that. Which one would you prefer? He asked. Then he said, Maharaj, second one is better, he said. So that's why Krishna has taken. He said, Krishna will think, why should this fellow be bedridden? So why Krishna is doing what he is doing, he only knows. We try to interpret from our own idea. We think, if only I lived longer, it will be nice. Okay, you live longer. Anybody wants to be bedridden for 20 years in the bed? It is better that. So Maharaj said, this is like one injection. When you give injection, it's painful. After that, the disease goes away. Correct, no? Similarly, small pain you tolerate and then you go back to Godhead. In fact, in that small punch which you might have got, whatever reactions may be there, they are all finished off. Then you go back to Godhead, you see. So in this way, Kala comes when you are going in a scooter. Kala comes as a disease. Kala can come in various ways. But a devotee should become fearless, knowing that I am in the safe hands of Krishna. Krishna is I am always in Krishna. That is why Vipra Dharma Achyuta. If you are doing these three things, you don't have to worry. Imagine one of us, we broke our leg and doctor says, this is irreparable. You have to have a crutch. And one may think, alas, all my life, I have to be without the leg. Alas. So it may be very painful for somebody like, you see, His Holiness Bhakti Raghava Maharaj. In one of the shooting in Mayapur, he lost his leg. Although he lost his leg, he never lost his enthusiasm. His enthusiasm became a million times more. Because you find his determination, his vigor only increased in Krishna consciousness. In this way, in our life also, when Kala brings forth some apparent, adversities or unpleasant situations, we should not curse the providence or we should not become weakened in Krishna consciousness. Rather, we should know Krishna has a plan. And what is the plan, he only knows. Maybe we can conceive it to some degree, like I gave you some examples. But ultimately, we may not be able to comprehend fully why he is doing, what is he doing. If you sometimes consult various devotees, you will know. Like for example, in one devotee's life, there was an accident. There were two things in his life. One is, at a certain age, he will get a very bad reputation that he has fallen down with a woman or something like that. And prior to that, there is a ganda period in his life where he may pass away by accident or by fire. So out of the two, in case he has transcended his kama karma bijas, he has become purified, then this ganda will also be taken away. And because when he crosses through that stage in life, he will not fall down. He will not get bad name. You understand, no? But in case he has not transcended his Ramakarma Bijas and that dirty reputation is going to come to him, then Krishna may take away the devotee through some ganda and then place him in another position where he will get another chance to purify his heart rather than lose his reputation. So now we may wonder, hey, why did this devotee die in a fire accident? Or why did this devotee die in a car accident? Why? So we may not know, but Krishna has a great plan for everyone. So he has, because he sees from the top and we see from ground level, we can't see most of it. Like from here, what can you see in Pune station or Pune airport from here? If you are in the sky, you can see everything. Krishna can see everyone and everything at all times. That is his ability. That is why he is the supreme Kala. So what he is saying, Bhishma Pitama, or you see, Krishna is at the top and he is your well-wisher also. He is your friend also. So have full faith in him. Whatever is happening to you is all orchestrated by him only. But instead of saying Krishna, he is saying Kala. Now you see what he will say in the next verse. Tasmadidam daivatantram vyavasya bharata rishabha tasya anuvikito natha pahi praja natha pahi praja prabho. The translation.
O best among the descendants of Bharat, Yudhishthir, I maintain therefore that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head, and my Lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless.
Yeah. See, in text number 16 he is saying, Nahi Asya Karhichit Rajan. Asya means that Lord's activities are difficult to comprehend. And then he is saying, Tasmad Idam Daiva Tantram. The word Daiva Tantram he is saying. So what is the meaning of Daiva Tantram? That Kala is not some kind of impersonal entity. It is a Devata. It is a Daiva Tantram. No, he is saying like that. This providence is Daiva. We call it as Daiva, no? And then he is saying, who is that Daiva Tantram? Next verse he says, Yesha Vai Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayan Mayaya Lokam Gudascharati Vrishnishu. Now he has released the secret. This Kala is none other than this person standing in front of you. What is his name? Krishna, he says. Yeshavai Bhagavan Sakshat. Adyo Na. He is the original Narayana. He is the Kala. Now, somebody may say, Acha, this fellow only is Kala. Then we can go and ask him only, no? If any problem happens, you go and ask him, hey Krishna, come here. Why these problems are happening? You only tell. But Bhishma says, asking him is useless. Why? He will only smile, that's all. Because he knows all the plans, but he will not reveal. He will allow it to unfold over a period of time. He's a very mystical personality. But there is one thing which is in your hands. You simply follow him, that's all. He will not tell you the whole thing in one shot. And even if he tells you the whole thing, you cannot digest it also. You have no power to digest. So better, what do you do? You follow this fellow. Although he is a mystical person, he is not a cheater. He is a supreme well-wisher. He is personification of all good. And no one can understand him. Even the great rishis and munis, muhyanti yat surayaha. Muhyanti yat surayaha. The first verse says, no? Even many demigods have tried to understand him and they have become bewildered. He says, our Purnachandra Maharaj says, the absolute truth is a multi-dimensional creature, he says. Either he says, why? He says it has the impersonal aspect, it has personal aspect, it has a super soul aspect. And in the personal aspect also there are many. Like for example, there is Vishnu, there is Ramachandra, there is Krishna. And after you go to Krishna also, there is Vasudev Krishna, there is Dwaraka Krishna, there is Vrindavan Krishna. So absolute truth, he says, is multidimensional and not easily comprehensible by ordinary people. So, the Lord also unfolds himself more and more depending on the surrender of the devotee. Actually, everything he does cannot be totally decoded by anybody. But those who are highly surrendered can be allowed access to deeper and deeper layers of understanding. But there are multiple layers of understanding of the activities that he does. But he says that if you want a glimpse of understanding of what is he doing, then you have to surrender to him more and more. Surrender to his plans. Then you will see that everything will come out well if you surrender. Whether he supplies you suffering, like one day I was walking in Vrindavan, in the yatra time I was coming, casually walking and talking with another devotee like this. Some other, suddenly one devotee came, came running behind me and just pushed me like this, and I rolled on the ground and fell on the side, like this I fell. And then I saw, one cow, one cow was running very fast. Actually, the cow saw the big crowd of people and got frightened. So the cow was coming running behind, which I didn't see. So this devotee who was behind me thought that I am walking and I didn't see. So he pushed me aside. And the cow ran ahead. Then when I got up, I got some little bruises in the body. And that devotee came and offered me obeisance and said, "Prabhuji, I am very sorry, Prabhu. Actually, I never, in my dream also, I would have never pushed you like this. Now, actually, my intention was to save your life. My intention was that I was afraid that the cow comes and hits with the horn behind. You will get a serious damage and you will be admitted in hospital for 6 months. I didn't want that. I wanted you to be saved. So I pushed you aside." So how many of you won't mind if you are given a dhakka like that? You won't mind. Correct, no? Yeah. And I felt the same. I told, "Thank you for the dhakka," I told him. If you didn't give me that, I don't know what a big damage would have happened. Correct, no? So now it appears like when he pushed me down, I thought maybe somebody is very envious of me or angry with me. Pata nahi itna krodh kya mere upar. Have I done anything so bad that he is beating me like this? And I was thinking. But later when he told, then I understood. Oh, what he did was very... Similarly, sometimes in our life also, Krishna will bring about situations where it may appear that we got a slap or we got a beating or we got... But he is doing it to save us from something which is more dangerous also. Like for example, Indra became proud. So Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and humiliated him, correct? No? Similarly, you will see for everyone, he has a different formula. It's not the same. You will see for Bali Maharaj, he had one formula. He came as Vaman Dev for Bali Maharaj, correct? No? For different people, he comes differently, in different ways, and different type of leela he does. Whatever is necessary to purify that person, help that person, he will do. And oftentimes, as I told you, everything has two components. Now this fellow, when he pushed me, it is a painful component or joyful component? Painful. But after I knew the truth, why he pushed me then? Same with Krishna also. When Krishna sometimes gives some suffering, it appears painful. But when you take a total picture, then you will see, oh, it is so wonderful. He has done this to purify me. It's for my own good. It will benefit me more. You'll understand. Because sometimes we all need a purification, otherwise we won't realize. One devotee, one particular driver was not this thing. He was angry with one driver. And the driver told him some lie. It's a big story, but I'm cutting it short for you. This driver was in Pune station, but when this leader called him, Hajodi called him, "Where are you?" He said, "I am in Nigdi," like that he told lie. But then some brahmachari coming down in Pune station found this car and told the department head that the car is in Pune station only. So this devotee said, "Hey, you told lie. I will cut 5,000 rupees from your salary," he said. So this fellow thought that, my salary only 6,000. If he's cutting 5,000, what will I get? So he left that department and joined some another department in temple. So anyway, this devotee later came and complained to me that, "Prabhu, he is joining another department. How can they allow? They should tell him to go back to my department and join." So I told them also. But they said, "Prabhu, this fellow has had the fight with him. So he doesn't want to go there. That's why he has come here." Then they said, "Okay, we cannot give you in our department, go back." So he said, "I will not go back to this vehicle department. Rather, I will go out of the temple. I will go and work outside." Anyway, then the devotee came to me. I told him that, reduce the fine. Instead of 5,000, reduce maybe 500 rupees or 1,000 rupees this time. Keep it and then give the rest of the salary to him. And then you pacify him a little bit. So he called him and cajoled him a little bit, pacified, gave some Mahaprasad to him. and took only fine of 500 rupees, something like that. Then that fellow stayed after that. So this fellow later on came and told me, "Thank you, Prabhuji, it was a nice idea. Otherwise he was a good driver. We didn't want to miss him," he said. So why I told you this example, sometimes if you become excessively, you take a more serious action, then you lose somebody. You correct, no? So this devotee initially was proudly making one kind of decision, but that proud decision was bringing whom trouble? Him only trouble. Then next moment he became humble. So in this way you will find Krishna sometimes will see, if a devotee is giving, devotee is having some trouble, so Krishna will purify the devotee by some means, in the form of Kala. He will come as Kala. So for everybody it is different. So if you want to check in your own life, you can check how Krishna came. He came in some particular form and he purified, we can check it. So we'll conclude with this. Please read the 17th. See, in 17th purport, you see, Prabhupada is saying, okay, 17th translation, you see. "Oh, Yudhishthir, I maintain therefore that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head. And my Lord, you should now take care like this." And then the purport Prabhupada says, housewife teaches daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Like that he is saying. And then the middle Prabhupada says, "Whenever therefore a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, it is for the teaching the less intelligent man. A devotee's duty therefore is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as a benediction." The Pandavas are advised by Bhishma Deva to accept the responsibility of administering without hesitation. And the last line, "A pure devotee of the Lord accepts tribulations as favors from the Lord. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no mundane difference between the two." See what Prabhupada is saying, that favor from the Lord's pat and Lord's beat, both are same, he is saying. So, there is a, they say that I asked the Lord for a butterfly and Lord gave me a caterpillar. I asked the Lord for a flower and the Lord gave me a cactus, he says. So anyway, what will I do with the cactus and a caterpillar? He kept on watering the cactus. Eventually from the cactus came a flower. And from the caterpillar came. Then I learned that Lord wanted me to teach patience. Lord wanted me to learn patience. That is why he gave me those things. Like that he says. So in the same manner, in our life, when Lord beats or Lord embraces, he says, both of them are a display of his love, he says. Like Lord is snatching all the property of Bali, or Lord is becoming his doorkeeper. Both are a display of his love. This has to be understood by the devotee. It is not that Krishna becomes my enemy by taking away anything from me. So this type of faith he instilled in the heart of Pandavas, Bhishma Pitama. So in this way he glorifies Krishna as the supreme authority. First Nan Adyo Narayana Pumani saying. So original Narayana. And he is one of the Mahajanas. Who? Vishwam Pitamah. And he is telling. So, this series of verses, this is the main theme. Absorbing calamities and responding positively. Vidura responded positively in calamity. That Avanti Brahmana, we will recite that verse and conclude. What is that verse? Esham Sahastaya Paratmanishtam Adhyasitam Purvatamair Maharshibihi Aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nisheva yaiva. See, he is saying, this Avanti Brahmana was a rich man, miserly man. One day he was completely thrown away by the relatives, beaten up and thrown away. He became a penniless beggar, he took sannyas. People are passing foul air on his face. Some people are passing urine on his head. People, nobody respected him, nobody gave him food or water. He was so badly insulted, but he completely was tolerating all of it without complaining. And then he says this verse, that I will take shelter of Lord Mukunda and cross over this material world. And I will not protest against any living entity, he says. Because the moment I protest, I create enmity, I will have to be born again in this world. So instead I will tolerate all the adversities which will come. And I will go back to Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked this verse very much of Avanti Brahmana. And also why we should tolerate adversities. See, at the time of death we come with empty hands and we go away with empty hands. In between we get things and lose things. So we don't have to worry about losses in this world. Say you are put in a big position in a company, one day you are a CEO of a company, or you may be a penniless beggar, or you are a great star actor, or like one big football player, he was very popular worldwide, then he broke his leg, he became unpopular after that. So this world, sukha, dukkha, shita, ushna, everything will come. So don't care for them, but stick to those three principles. What are they? Yeah. See, I have summarized all this, what I spoke today, in this. This summary, you can see. Karmis, demigods and pure devotees are all subjected to Kala in different ways by the Supreme Lord. And they also decode the behavior of Kala differently. For example, when Karmis suffer, what they decode? They say, if you work more hard, you can come out of suffering. Or sometimes Karmis criticize others. They pick up enmity with others. And demigods also suffer Kala. You know why? Because when demigods become too complacent, Lord Vishnu makes demons more stronger. So Lord Vishnu makes demons to give trouble to demigods. Vishnu only arranges. Because he wants to make demigods more serious in Krishna consciousness. Like Lord took away the opulence of Indra once, no? When he offended Brihaspati. Then Indra had to run here and there and they became more serious and their devotion service is more accelerated. And the pure devotees, they are subjected to Kala by Krishna directly in order to engage in some pastimes. Correct, no? That's the first point. Then second one, Kala defeats Karmis like a cloud being pushed by the wind. And Kala defeats even demigods also. And then even power of piety, personality, weapons, strategy of management, even with Krishna at the top, Pandava suffered. Why? Because Lord wanted to establish dharma over adharma. So we should understand, if Lord has desired something, we have to align around it. Whatever role He wants me to play, I will play. Don't speculate about what is inconceivable. Just accept if it is coming. Even if it is inconceivable, ununderstandable, if it is coming from the right source, you accept it. Like Prithu was told, Prithu, you don't do the 100th yajna and leave Indra. So mistake was Indra's or Prithu's? But who was told not to do yajna? Now Prithu, did he ask for reasons? Did he say that, you put Indra in a jail here, then I will finish my 100th yajna. So he cannot steal the horse. Did he say that? Okay, I will not kill him. I will just put him in the jail. I finish my 100 yajnas and then I will release him. If he says, will they allow? So he didn't argue at all. There was no argument. If Brahma says, Vishnu says, just accept. They know what is good for everyone. And then this is the last one. Just stick to cooperating with Lord Vishnu, strictly sticking to religious principles, guidance by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And Parikshit Maharaj did this. When he was cursed to die, he didn't retaliate with Sringi. Rather, what he did? He pleased Krishna. Demigod showered flowers on Parikshit when he was going back to Godhead. And he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, guided by, you know, all vipras. Lord's will ultimately prevails. Yes. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai.